You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. Over 80% of 10-year-old girls are afraid of being fat. 53% of 13-year-old American girls are unhappy with their bodies, and this number grows to 78% by the time girls reach 17. By middle school, 40 to 70% of girls are unhappy with two or more parts of their bodies. And around 30% of 10 to 14-year-olds are actively dieting. The age of six is when sociocultural factors seem to start influencing body dissatisfaction. And 40% of elementary school girls want to be thinner. By late elementary school, 50% of girls are dissatisfied with weight and shape and have developed pervasive negative body esteem. My guest today is Allison Anderson. Allison is the owner of Health Resurrection, a comprehensive wellness company based in Westport, Connecticut. Allison provides innovative and life-transforming coaching to individuals wanting to achieve a healthier relationship with their body and food. Allison's highly intuitive and collaborative style of coaching helps melt away limiting roadblocks around the areas of body image, weight, food allergies, phobias, stress, and more. She uses high-speed mindset change process to uncover underlying core messages from the body to restore balance and well-being. Allison has a Master of Science in Clinical Nutrition, is a certified health coach, a certified health and well-being Psych-K facilitator, and an advanced emotional freedom technique practitioner, and has over 10 years of clinical experience working with clients of all ages on various health and life challenges. Well, welcome, Allison. It's so great to have you here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation because I think that this whole concept of body image and weight and food and is such a big concern for parents these days, especially when it comes to raising a girl.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Maria. It's such a pleasure to work with women who are teaching their young girls to be their best selves. There's so much involved in this issue and this topic, so I hope that we can get through a lot of it today and awaken the masses out there with how to raise their girls to love their bodies.
Yeah, that's for me, it's as a mom to two girls and as someone that's really struggled with weight and body image issues the majority of my life, and it's something that I'm still just now starting to really uncover, like the root of these feelings. I love that you talk about modeling behavior, and that is so in alignment with so much of what I teach and what I'm really trying to work on at home and embodying, you know, really good healthy habits and behavior. Can we start there talking about that?
Absolutely. So modeling comes in many different forms. It can come in the way that we talk to others, so our language. It can come in our behaviors and actions, so what we're putting out there, how we're going through and walking through life. And I think there's so many different examples when it comes to body image. So a few of them that come to mind are things like the moment we step into our clothes in the morning and pull up that pair of jeans that doesn't fit. How are we, what are we saying to ourselves? What looks are we giving ourselves in the mirror? What's running through our head? What do we say out loud? All of those things are so can be detrimental to the body. They can either be uplifting or detrimental to the body. So how do we want to step into that experience of trying on clothes? Do we want to, you know, put in words of disgust or put in words of love? And our daughters, you know, our daughters are entering our bedrooms when we're putting on our clothes. They're sitting there watching us. They know how we feel when we're moving around. So it's important that we, as moms, you know, start to listen to those inner dialogues that are going on and model those for our kids.
I love that. And that's such a great start because you know, for myself, I've had those moments where, I mean, we all have days where we put something on and we're just not feeling it, right? Like there's days where a certain pair of pants or a certain shirt, you're just feeling it or you're not feeling it. And my girls are, they're always around me, always in the bathroom, always when I'm getting dressed. And so I remember very clearly when my oldest was probably around five, I threw on something and I just wasn't feeling it that day, right? And I could, she probably saw it in my face. And she was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I'm just not feeling this outfit today." And she's like, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "I don't know. How do you pick out your clothes in the morning, right? Don't you pick it out based on how you want to feel today or how you're feeling today?" And I said, "You know, today I'm just not feeling this purple shirt. I think I'm feeling something else. What do you think?" Right? Where in my head I was going, "Oh my God,
this doesn't fit." But that's a great way to turn things around. And it also, not only does it help your daughter, it helps yourself, because you're saying, "Look, this is not how I want to feel in the world. I want to put on something that lights me up, not drags me down." And maybe it's a good idea to say, "Okay, this no longer serves a purpose in my closet. Let's bring this to Goodwill," instead of waiting for the day where you can actually wear it. Because a lot of times those clothes just sit in the closet and they drag us down. So same with your daughters. If they're putting on an outfit for the day and they don't feel excited about it, they look in the mirror, ask them the same questions. How is this working for you today? You know, do you feel the spunk that you normally do? And if they say, "Mom, I don't like this. I want to wear my jeans today," then give them that permission. They should have choices. And I think that's another important thing with parenthood, is to offer choices to kids versus saying, "It's this. This is what we're having for dinner, and this is it." Instead, maybe give them, "We've got two choices that I can make tonight. Which one would you prefer?" And that involves them in the experience.
Yeah, I really love that. And choices is something that for me has become so powerful, because it just makes my job easier. Because so many of the battles that we battle, if we're battling them every day, is based on children just wanting more independence. They really, that's just what they need. And we're trying to find that balance between independence and boundaries and morals and limits and, you know, what's easier for us. And I totally get that. But I've really found that with them, that, you know, clothing is something that I've never really battled on. Very rarely will I actually give any input onto what they wear. And there's days they go out of the house and I'm like, "All right, head to toe, cheetah, leopard, zebra, sparkles, you name it, we're mixing it all." And I'm like, you know, let her rock it. I'm just not going to look. But, you know, choices is such a great thing. And with food, let's talk a little bit about food and choices, because it can be a challenge at different stages, right? Both of my girls have always been very good eaters, but they both have gone through phases where I know it's been a little bit of control, where something that they have normally liked now is disgusting, or "I don't like that." I'm trying to find that balance without not getting angry and putting any emotion to the food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And food, I mean, I like to always look at everything with energy. And if we put an emotion into food, it gives it a supercharge of energy. And so we want to keep things as neutral as possible. But of course, kids, you know, they're going to have their days where, or their weeks or their months or their years, where there's certain foods or food groups that are out of the question. And so it's just about opening up the door to opportunities. I think that, you know, sometimes it looks like doors are closing when that happens. But parents have to think outside of the box and think, "Okay, this isn't working. How can we bring a positive spin into this experience?" So if it's broccoli, you know, if it's every green food on the planet that they're not going to touch, and you've tried and tried and tried, let's look at, maybe pull out a picture of a rainbow or have them draw a picture of a rainbow and say, "Hey, foods have all different colors of the rainbow. What color is your color of the day? Let's find a food that we can approach in the color of the rainbow." And that might just be a different fun experiential. It opens up the conversation. It's not one-sided. It allows them, again, to choose instead of you making that decision and saying, "Guess what? We're having carrots today. The color's orange." Mm-hmm. Oh, Why don't they choose? Why don't they, if you are okay with them coming to the grocery store, you know, sometimes that can be hit or miss too, but getting them involved in that, or having them sit there and watch you make dinner or help you set the table or do things that involve a multifaceted approach to eating, because there are different stages of eating. It's not always about the food. It's about taking the time out to bless the food, to be thankful for it, to know where it came from. It's about having great conversation at the dinner table and allowing that to nourish you. So there's a lot to be thankful for, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. And that's, you know, so it's about having choices. So if there's one food that doesn't work, well, you can keep trying it. You can keep pushing the envelope, but often that approach just is a big fail.
Yeah. And I love the rainbow, right? Because really when we're taught to eat as we're supposed to be eating, you know, all the colors of the rainbow, especially with fruits and vegetables. And there's a lot of different orange vegetables, right? One of my daughters really loves butternut squash. The other one just will not touch it at all. And so I'm always like, well, we need to eat this. But then, you know, she does love carrots. So maybe offering them the choices with the colors helps. My girls have always loved cooking with us. And I've found that if I can engage them in cooking a meal or something that, you know, they might not necessarily want to eat, I have a higher percentage that they're going to at least try it. And oftentimes they'll enjoy it more because they have actually helped make it. And I know sometimes it can be difficult and it's messy, especially when you have like a 2 or 3 year old in the kitchen, but I also want them to learn how to cook. And so for me, that's always been really important, you know, get them in the kitchen, you know, let them, you know, for tossing veggies in olive oil before you throw them on the pan to roast them in the oven, I'll let them toss them and, you know, sprinkle the salt on and shake the pan, and they really get engaged with it and it becomes fun. And that has helped us a lot.
Good. And they understand where the food's coming from a little bit better too. It's not just something that's on their dinner plate. It's actually something that was taken out of the fridge or taken from the grocery store and then put into a recipe, and you've got to measure the different amounts. So it teaches math and it teaches all sorts of different skills and concepts that you just wouldn't otherwise get, and it makes it fun. And the other thing is that, you know, a lot of parents or even nutritionists will say, try and disguise some different foods if it just doesn't fly in the house, if you need a different approach. And that's always a great approach. There's so many great recipes out there that do have interesting ingredients. You know, I was reading an article the other day about a brownie recipe that had spinach in it, because the spinach turns brown when when it's cooked. And I had never heard of spinach and brownies. I've heard of black beans and brownies and other healthy ingredients. So there's always a way to work around the situation. And chocolate is a great cover-up. And who doesn't like chocolate? Most kids are big fans. Not that you want to be feeding your kids gobs and gobs of chocolate, but hey, if you can't get the spinach in, once in a while having a brownie that's got some spinach in it, and it does develop kids' taste buds. The more that you are able to incorporate those kinds of things, the kids will eventually come around, and you know, it takes time and patience sometimes.
Yeah, I love that. We do breakfast smoothies in the morning because it's a really great way to get a lot of protein in the girls quickly. One of my daughters really can eat breakfast right away. The other one really needs like an hour to warm up just from waking up before she's really ready to eat. And that's tough on school mornings. So we make a breakfast smoothie, and our standard's always a banana with peanut butter powder and cocoa powder and a little bit of honey. Mm-hmm. So then from there, I can throw whatever I want into it. And it's amazing. They don't taste it. I've thrown in chunks of zucchini. I've thrown in spinach. Kale's kind of hard. And then I'll throw in some berries and stuff, where at first I thought it'd be kind of weird, but they don't taste it. They think they're getting a chocolate milkshake. Nice. And they're getting a ton of protein, and it makes a huge difference in our moods in the morning, I found, because I'll get that smoothie ready right away. They drink it. blood sugar's back up to normal. They've got a healthy dose of protein. And then if they want to, you know, munch on dry cereal or, you know, have some more fruit or something, they can have that. But yeah, chocolate's amazing at covering up the evidence.
Absolutely. And then they're going off to school with such a good balanced diet, which is great too, because everything starts in the morning. If, you know, as adults, I think we know that if we don't have a good morning, sometimes it can, the rest of the day can turn out that way. So starting your kids off on a good note like that is fantastic. I also think that the whole idea of kids saying no, and I can't have that, and don't do that, it, you know, I hate to turn it around always to parents, but I say, look at yourself if you start to see that in your kids, and look at how you might be saying things in a negative way more often than would be, you know, really good for you or good for your family. So even if it's about, you know, eliminating foods from your diet, well, often we say, well, I can't have that. I don't eat gluten. I don't touch that. And the kids will hear that and say, Mom, why don't you have that? You know, I can have that. Or what's wrong with this? And so it brings up a negative conversation. And instead, having the foods around that you can have and focusing on all the cans is a much better approach than turning everything into a negative. And it's better for your body too. I work on language behavior with all of my clients. I work from an energetic perspective with clients. So it's tapping into things that we don't always see on the conscious side. And a lot of times we're set up with this, I can't have that, I can't do that. And that sort of mindset doesn't empower anybody, including our girls.
Yeah, I love that. So you talk about health that comes in all different shapes and sizes. What does that mean?
Have you heard of the movie Embrace?
Yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And I did a small community screening, actually a pretty large community screening, about a year ago. And it is a fantastic movie. So I encourage all of your listeners to go onto Netflix and order that movie. It's really more adult appropriate. So I wouldn't have kids younger than 15 watching it. But it is, it really shows us that we're so much more than our weight. We're so much more than our looks. And so much of us, so much of society has really put a mainstream focus on you are your looks. You are, you're worth what you weigh, you know, and that's not the truth. It goes so much beyond that. So our self-worth is not determined by how we look. Our body is whole. It's not broken. And these images that are in magazines, on TV, even the conversations that we have around town with our hairdressers and our personal trainers, all this emphasis is put on body weight. And health can be positive emotions. You know, if we're happy and vibrant and we're living our dreams, guess what? We're a lot healthier than the skinny people who are out there sitting on the couch or not fulfilling their purpose or not raising powerful girls. So health comes in so many shapes and sizes. And I think that it's very hard to acknowledge that when our outside society has flipped it around and said, no, it's about how you look. It's about your self-image. So it's up to us individuals and communities to turn around what the media has determined as healthy and to embrace who we are and what our bodies can do for us. And Taryn Brumfitt, who put together that movie, she has a great quote that is, my body is not an ornament. It is a vehicle to my dreams.
I love that. And, you know, I think it's something that I've really tried to, in my conversations with my daughters, embrace, because I am plus size. I'm not at a weight where I am really happy. And so when we talk about the foods that we eat or wanting to exercise or something like that, I've never said it because I want to lose weight. I've always talked about because this is a healthy choice for my body, because when I eat the grapes for snack instead of eating chips, my body feels better and I work better. My body works better. Or when I go for a walk, I like to go for a walk because it helps. And I bring biology into it because my background's in medicine. And so, you know, I'll start talking about it. Well, you know, when I start walking, it helps my muscles move and then it starts making the blood flowing in my heart. And, you know, our heart's working hard all day long and it's really healthy for our heart. And so I've always tried to spin it that way instead of saying, because mama's got to lose some weight, you know?
Yeah, our bodies have trillions of cells in them. And when they're fed this food, not only is it everything that you've just said, which is fantastic, it's also a form of self-respect. And if we're feeding ourselves good, nourishing food, it's if you put an equal sign, you know, it equals respect. And if we're filling our body up with junk food, it's just only reinforcing the things that we don't like. So we're awakening these cells to make them alive and happy and joyful, just like the food. When you look at spinach that comes from the grocery store and it's all bright and green, and then you put it into the boiling water and it turns even brighter, it's alive, it's vibrant. And guess what? When it goes into your body, it does the same thing with your body. When you take something that has a shelf life of, you know, 10 years, a Twinkie or something, it's just not going to awaken the cells like that piece of spinach would.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, something that I've started doing with my girls that it's starting to work now. You know, the youngest one doesn't really get it yet, but my oldest one is starting to get it, is I want them to start being aware of how their body reacts when they eat certain things. I don't like to really put limits on sweets or stuff. You know, when we're out and stuff, I'm pretty, you know, generous and you know, in moderation and such. But I want them to realize that when they eat certain foods, they feel better or have more energy. And then when they, you know, have the candy or something, you know, after Halloween, how their bodies don't feel so good. And so I've actually done where they've had a couple pieces of candy and, you know, they're kind of bouncing off the walls and then I watch them crash. And then I'll come over and be like, how are you feeling right now?
No, it's great to awaken them to that and to bring up those conversations. I used to coach a running team, high school kids, and we would always ask these kids, okay, what'd you have today? You know, that run was a little bit different than your race last week. What was the difference? And they would always be, I mean, they were high school kids, so they were a little bit older, but they had never really made the true connection. And I think the earlier you can start with those kinds of questions, and that sugar crash is the perfect intro because it is so apparent. And as adults, we can notice that in our own bodies, so we can identify with it very easily.
Yeah. So talk to me about teenage girls and how we can start navigate some of these conversations, because they do have so much pressure on them these days with social media on, you know, what their bodies are supposed to look like. And in myself as a former photographer, I see so clearly that the damage that's being done primarily because of what we're seeing in online is not real. There's mm-hmm. so much that's done to alter the images that we're seeing from either lighting that's used or makeup or the photoshopping and then the retouching, that when I started working with girls in the studio setting in photography and I started showing them some of the stuff that is done, they were almost like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe, you know, that's what's happened to an image to make it look like that. That's not realistic. And trying to break away from that and to talk more about that their body health comes in all shapes and sizes, because that's hard for some of them to hear that because they don't want to hear that. I think that's such a difficult part, you know, that your body might never look like you know, this girl's body, your body wasn't built to be a size 2. Not all of us are. Some of us are built to be size 10s or 12 based on bone structure and genetics. How do we start having these conversations in a healthy way to try to break through to them a little bit?
I agree that I think there's so much competition in this sort of environment once you reach teenage years, and it can be tough. And I know that I struggled with that a lot in my community when I was younger, because it was a very competitive, high achieving kind of atmosphere. And the imaging idea with the makeup and the photo editing is a great thing to show teenagers, because it's a big wow. I was wowed. And there is a clip within Embrace, so you could even take that clip and show it to your teenage girl, just to let them know, or occasionally make a comment when they're reading a magazine to point out, hey, do you know that was airbrushed? What's airbrushing? Well, they do this, that, and the other. And on our phones, there's so many apps now that you can buy. So you could even play with one of the images with your daughters and show them, look what you can do. I mean, they probably already know that, what they can do. But if they're distraught by the images that they're seeing, it's good to remind them, because a lot of times we can go down this dark rabbit hole thinking that we're all by ourselves in this experience, that we're the only ones. And I think too, with social media, it has turned into a lot of that, where we are by ourselves a lot and we're taking all these selfies and taking all these images and doing all this editing. And we might be with one or two friends, but we're not realizing that there's thousands of girls all throughout the world that are struggling with their own body image issues. Another great thing to really do is to keep emphasizing the strengths of your daughter. So whether it be that they're very good at math or that they're really good at sports, you know, if they didn't have the thighs that they had, they would not be able to kick the soccer ball in the way that they do. They wouldn't have made that goal. So it's really turning everything into perspective. We can look at something with eyes of hate, like I said earlier, when we look in the mirror, or we can look at with the eyes of love and with congratulations and with compliments. So it's about turning the conversation around. And that can be difficult. It's hard to see your daughter in a state that is, you know, almost depressive to a point, because it can drag you that far down where they just want to be alone in their room because they're so upset by maybe a name that they were called at school, or they're in a certain social group that they don't like. But it's just about opening the doorway to more conversations and allowing them to express what's going on, and then to try and let them see a different perspective and it might take time. It might mean several conversations. It's never an end conversation either. And this road of loving our bodies is a lifelong journey. It's not something that ever stops for people. And I think no matter what size or shape someone is, there is a struggle in there, because we all have one part of our body that maybe we don't totally love. And so why not focus on the other areas that we do love, even if it's our eyes or our hands that are able to do things and play with things? It's a good thing to do.
Thank you so much, Allison. This was such a great conversation and topic, and one that I know so many parents are struggling with. To find out more about Allison, you can find her at healthfuldirection.com. And to hear the rest of this interview as we further explore this topic and look at teaching girls the importance of physically pushing their bodies and why you need to get rid of the scale from your home and more, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.